Okay, well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your love and your presence. And Father, we just acknowledge you, we acknowledge your presence. We ask for your anointing. Lord, your presence upon us, that we could know who you are and your great love. We bless you, Jesus. We honor you. We honor you. We honor your word. We honor who you are, Jesus, what you've done for us on the cross. We're so grateful. Amen. Amen. So look, today, it's good to be. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's a beautiful sunny day. And my second team in the NRL lost yesterday. Newcastle. My second team. My first team is West Tigers, who beat Penrith, by the way, this year, who beat Penrith. They're building for next season, I think, prophetically, they're building. So now Newcastle lost. Now I'm desperate. I'm desperate. Go Penrith, I think. Shakaraba. Praise God. Look, today I want to talk a little bit about faith again. I gave a talk two times ago on faith, believing that God wants to take us to a new level. And that's what we're praying for at the conference, where there's 21 days of prayer and fasting, and there's heaps of people signed up for the fasting, like more than ever. I think there's maybe 50 people for the 21 days, which is really encouraging, which I haven't seen before. So, look, we're trying to believe God for a breakthrough there, and God will moves powerfully. Unfortunately, which you would have seen, Randy Clark couldn't make it because of prior engagement. He was overcommitted and he had to pull out. But in one sense, funnily enough, I'm not too worried about it because I think God's going to do something unexpected. So we're believing God for that. So I want to look at a few points on faith and understanding faith, and I just want to recap. Wow, this is loose. I just want to recap just a little bit of what I said last time, and then go into a gospel story about the woman with the issue of bleeding and look at her courageous faith. So what we looked at last time, we look what does faith mean according to the scriptures, and the closest I could find to an exact definition is in Hebrews 11:1, and it was this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. So from this particular passage, we see that the central feature of faith is confidence or trust in God who is unseen. So for that to happen, it has to be a supernatural gift because God's beyond the natural. He's uncreated. And like any father, you want to be able to communicate with your children. So God gives us this gift of faith so that we can hear his voice and know his ways. But it very much depends upon how we respond in our hearts to God who is always calling us. And this is what you see in this story in the gospel. So this gives us some understanding of what faith does. So the first point is that faith is a gift that unites us in relationship directly to God and his promises for us. In this gift, God calls us to be like him, which is an extraordinary gift, to be like God. That's what he calls us to. It's way above our own natural possibility to do that. We can't do it by ourselves, but this gift, this seed he gives us, and as we work that spiritual muscle in this area of the gift of faith, we grow into becoming not God, but like him. Jesus said, be perfect like my heavenly Father is perfect. It's an incredible gift that he's given us to exercise. But to exercise it, we have to yield our hearts to God, and it has to be tested, otherwise it'll never grow. So as God's children then, his word becomes personal to us, and his word, because it's creative, when we hear it, it empowers us. So it empowers us to be what? Like God. It empowers us. So his word's creative. So when we hear the scriptures, if we're attentive to them and God speaks to us through the scriptures, it empowers us beyond our possibility in our own nature. So in this gift, God calls us to be like him. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous shall live by faith. That's how we're meant to live. So this is what God's been impressing on me, and hopefully maybe at the end we'll be able to be open to God in this. But most people, including myself, pray in hope. However, the promises of God relate to faith, hopes for the future, right? But faith is an empowerment in the present. Okay, so God's given me this gift to know him. So when will I know God? Will I know him tomorrow? Will I know him yesterday? Or can I know him in the present? With my marriage and my relationship with Jerry, it's very much in the present. So faith is an empowerment in the present to know and walk with God now. So it's not tomorrow, it's not in the past, it's not in the future, it's present now. Even in the midst of anything we're going through, faith brings the presence of God now that I can respond to him as a person. So it's personal relationship, an encounter with God who is beyond the natural, and then he calls me to be like him in that moment. So it's in the now, it's not in the future. Faith's in the now. So hope is always to do with the future, but faith is to do with now, and it anchors us in the promises of God for the future. So what does faith do? Faith helps us know God personally. Faith helps me understand his truth clearly to me because it's personal. It's God. It's God's word to his children, or to his child if we put it personally. It's God's word to us personally. And faith helps me to live in his power. Is that good? To live in the power of God. It gives me the grace to live in the power of God. Why? Because faith is an empowerment in the present. It's an empowerment in the present. So if we were attentive to the presence of God in the moment now, if we were, and this takes faith to do this because we have to yield. What's yielding mean? It means I'm cooperating with the grace of God that's at work in my heart now. If we were to just await on the presence of God and we weren't we yielded by faith. It's a gift, remember, a supernatural gift. We're yielding to the Holy Spirit. His presence would come. It always would because he wants a relationship. His presence would come. And if we're to yield to that, God will empower us right now for whatever we're going through with his grace. Is that good? That's what happens with faith. That's where it's a gift in the moment. And at the end, we might look at opening our hearts to God in this area. So God expects more from us than we can simply do ourselves. This is why Jesus came to unite us to himself through the gift of faith, so that we could live in his power, live in his love, through the gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So this is what we are as children of God. God comes and he resides in us. Most of the time, as I've said here probably numerous times, most of the time I'm more aware of my problems than I'm aware of God present within me, most of the time. And when I'm aware of my problems, they become bigger than God, and I don't operate in faith. In fact, I operate in the negative of faith. I empower that negativity to have power over my life. And I miss the gift of faith that's present for me in whatever I'm going through or any circumstance I'm going through, because it's a gift given. How do I receive a gift? I have to receive it. And to receive a gift, I have to, if you think of a present, you have to open it, you have to cherish the gift that's been given. Otherwise, I never function in this gift. And I can never grow in what God's trying to give me. He's trying to help us enter the spiritual life, into the supernatural dimension. So most importantly, faith is a key that unlocks the power of God in our lives. So the second point I want to look at is this scripture, the courageous faith of this wonderful Jewish woman. and how she approaches Jesus. And there's so much in this scripture, and I'm not really going to do a great job about it, probably, because there's so much in it historically in the scriptures. In fact, it's in Mark 5, verses 25 to 34, but I'm just going to look at the faith of this woman. But the story, it's sandwiched in the middle of another story. And when you read the story, you should read it like that, and which I'm not going to do, but because I'm sort of concentrating more on this gift of faith. So it's sandwiched in the middle of another story, the death of Jairus' daughter, the synagogue ruler. Now, in these stories, just briefly, there's several points that correspond with the two stories. One is the woman has suffered bleeding for how long? Can anyone remember? 12 years. For as long as a girl, Jairus' daughter, had lived. She died at the age of 12. So Jesus restores both to life. Now, this number 12, particularly for the Jewish listeners at the time, for God's people, was very significant. They would have understood exactly what Jesus was saying. It's showing that the Messiah has come to save his people, and he's come to save the nations through them. This is what they would have seen. But what happens in the story, as a Messiah comes, what does he do? He overcomes death. That's what Jesus comes to do. And that's what faith leads us into. Faith brings us into this presence of God that overcomes death. Death, where is your victory? And this is when you read the two stories, it's powerful. If you can get a good commentary, particularly understanding it in the Jewish understanding, it is so powerful what Jesus did. The people were waiting for the Messiah, and here the Messiah comes. And he overcomes the power of death in both circumstances. So faith in both these stories is linked to hearing God's voice. This is where it's really important, the Word of God, what we listen to, what we allow to influence our thinking. Because what we allow to influence our thinking, what empowers us. And this is what comes from the story. So for all of us, faith for all of us is our response to word from God, which engages us personally and calls us by name. So faith engages you or me personally, calls us by name, and guess what it does? It raises us from the dead into a new life in the spirit. Shaka-da-ba-ba-ba. It raises us from the dead. This is what it does. It engages us personally. God is calling each person here today by name, personally, continually. He's continually calling us because he wants to give us life and he wants to raise us from the dead into his life. And he's poured out his grace upon us and he's given us his gift of faith in seed form for us to exercise it to come into this grace. It's an incredible gift that he's given us to do that. So, firstly, so to put this Mark 5 story with the woman with the issue of bleeding in some context, in Mark 5, by the end of Mark 5, this enormous momentum had been created. Jesus had been traveling throughout Galilee and beyond, proclaiming the kingdom of God and demonstrating its reign, okay? So Jesus comes and he's proclaiming the kingdom. And by the end of Mark 5, it's incredible what we see. We see he's healing the sick. He's casting out demons. He's overcoming the elements of nature, so he's stilling storms. And he even raises a dead child to life, which was Jairus' daughter. So despite some fierce opposition, there seemed to be no stopping the advancement of the kingdom of God. I love Mark because when I grew up, I couldn't read. And I started to read when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just had this love for the scriptures. And because I couldn't get into genealogies, because I couldn't read their name, Mark's gospel, he's an evangelist. And from the first chapter, he's casting out demons, Jesus. And I loved it because it gripped me, the story gripped me. So these first five chapters of Mark are like this. There's this bang, bang, bang. You go, oh my gosh, this is incredible what Jesus is doing. It's really quick right into it. And then... So despite fierce opposition there, the kingdom of God was advancing. Crowds of people had experienced Jesus' compassion, deliverance and healing. But at the beginning of chapter 6, so very early on in Mark's gospel, this all suddenly comes to a grinding halt, this, the kingdom. The mighty works that hostile opponents such as demons, disease, and death could not stop are blocked temporarily by a greater obstacle. Guess what that obstacle was? Unbelief. Woo-hoo! So the advancement of the kingdom was powering along. And then in chapter 6, it comes to a grinding halt because of an obstacle, a temporary greater obstacle to that was unbelief. So this is the importance of faith. This is, you'll see the contrast. So it's not that Jesus' power is limited, but people are hindered from experiencing his power by their refusal to believe in him. This is where the scriptures are beautiful and they're very convicting. So in the Bible, what we looked at, the object of faith is God. So it's a relationship with God and his promises to us. It's a relationship. This is a gift that it brings us into. It's a personal encounter with God himself. It's beyond our thinking. It's beyond our theology. It's beyond understanding. It's an encounter with him. Him in a personal way. So this is what we see in this story. So correspond this story to us. And what we see in this story, for us anyway, this woman comes to Jesus with a need. Now, if we correspond this to us, every area of need then we have in our lives can be a point of contact for us to yield our hearts to God and to receive from his abundant grace. Every area of need. That's a point of contact. Otherwise, that's how faith grows. Otherwise, we're indifferent to it. And we fail to miss the opportunity to grow in faith. So every area of need in our life is a point of contact for us to encounter God's abundant grace. Every area. So that includes all of us, doesn't it? So in some ways, this story is our story. So if you want to look at the scripture, it's from Mark chapter 5, verse 24 to 34, and I'm reading from the NIV. I'm not going to read all the verses, but just the ones that, so we get the story. So verse 24, it says this, "A large crowd followed him and a large crowd followed him, Jesus, and pressed around him." So here's a crowd of people pressing around Jesus. They've been seeing what he's been doing. Obviously, we've mentioned that from Mark 5. All these things were happening, and people are pressing towards Jesus. And a woman was there who was subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. So just a bit of a comment here. So this woman had been experiencing her life draining away with the weakness and fatigue that usually accompanies chronic bleeding. So remember, he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead and she's experienced this loss of life. Worst, it left her in a perpetual state of ritual impurity according to the law of Moses. So it's incredible that she even goes to Jesus because she was considered unclean. Because anything she touches or sits on becomes unclean. And others avoided contact with her since touching her would make them unclean. So she hasn't had any meaningful touch from anyone for 12 years. Worst of all, she's in this. She's prohibited from entering the temple to worship God with her people. She can't go to the temple to worship God. So she's totally marginalized from the whole of society, from a culture. Now, Mark magnifies her plight by noting that she spent all she had on doctors whose painful treatment failed to help and only increased her suffering. Now, this is interesting. I think this is funny because in Mark's gospel, Mark mentions doctors, but this is also in Luke and Matthew. Now, Luke, who we know is a doctor in the scriptures, he doesn't mention she spent all her money on doctors. So it goes to show, even in the first century, doctors charged an arm and a leg. So, but Mark makes a point there. So I think it's quite funny. Anyway, that's beside the point. But verse 27, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Now, this is again, every Jewish person at that time would have known the prophecies of the Messiah. And in Malachi 4:2, it tells us that you'll recognize Messiah because there'll be healing in his wings, which was his cloak. If you read it in the original, it's talking, I think it's talit. That's the understanding. So she knows, she would have known these prophecies. So she's pressing towards Jesus, knowing that he is the Messiah. So in verse 27 and 8, Mark lets us in on these her inner thoughts. We see these three verbs. She heard. These are so important in the scripture. She heard. Are you hearing the word of God today? She heard. So they're verbs. She heard. She went. Who did she go to? Jesus. And she touched. Who did she touch? That's what faith does. It hears the Father through Jesus, however God speaks to us. See, faith comes by hearing. What do we listen to? Whatever we listen to, we empower if it touches our heart. So she heard about Jesus. She understood the Jewish scriptures. This is could be the Messiah. She heard. Then she went to Jesus and she touched. So for us today, we could come to the gathering. We could hear about Jesus. We went to the gathering. And we could touch whatever we're talking to, whoever we're talking to, the person, which is important. But we can fail to miss the anointing in the moment for our breakthrough. Because we fail to move from faith, hearing, to going and touching Jesus. This is her beautiful faith. It's this principle of faith that comes out of this. So these three verbs. So verse 29, immediately, so this is her breakthrough here. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. See what faith did? Unbelief stopped the power of God. Faith opened the door in her heart to receive God's power. It's personal. This is personal. It's not a theory or it's a personal encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus realized that power had gone out for him. Remember, the crowd was pressing against him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" So Jesus too, he senses this flow of power, and this is a key to what faith produces. Instead of Jesus being defiled by her uncleanliness, his divine power, what's it do? It transforms it. So if that was Jesus, which it's not, poor analogy, but as she touches, she becomes like him. What did I say at the start? This is what faith does. It gives us the ability to become like God. But the question for us is, what are we touching? Are we touching Jesus? Or do we just hear about Jesus and not touch him? Because that's how faith's released in us. So touching is our means where we connect to him, his word personally to us. So faith unites us to God. So he turns around, Jesus turns around, he said, Jesus turns around and he wants to see who had received his healing power because he wanted to see her. Now, it's interesting, in seeing her, you imagine you touch Jesus, this is the encounter, he wants to see you. In seeing you, you're known by God. Isn't that incredible? You're known by God in a personal way. This is what faith produces. You touch him, power comes out. He wants to see you. You're seen by him, you're known, and you're loved. So it speaks of identity. That our identity comes from God. And we see this if we go down to verse 34. He said to her these words, "Daughter." See, she's a child. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." Now, this statement, your faith has made you well. With some variations to it, your faith has healed you. Mary Healy, Dr. Mary Healy, who's at the conference. She's not at the conference, but on Zoom, online. She's done an online interview with Michael McGrillan for the conference. So this, she says this statement, your faith has healed you, or some variations to it. She says, no statement of Jesus is quoted more often in the Gospels. Jesus directly attributes his miraculous power, his miraculous healing, to faith. So this leads me to the last point, unbelief. Now, to help us understand faith, in Mark 6:3, there's a contrary instance that helps us to shed light on the meaning of faith. Now, the gospel reports that when Jesus, it's similar to what happened in Mark 6. Well, this is what happened in Mark 6, sorry, that I mentioned before. With the advancement of the gospel, it seemed to be unstoppable. And this is the scripture that talks about, Mark 6:3. The gospel reports that when he preached in the synagogue of his hometown of Nazareth, the people's reaction was to take offense at him. So they took offense at Jesus, the Son of God. They believed, that's key. You would think for us, he'd say, oh, we wouldn't have done that. But this is the key when you read around the scriptures there. They believe they knew all there was to know about Jesus. Now, how many of us in our lives think we know? Think we know all there was to know about Jesus? How many? I do. I do. So this scripture is for me about unbelief, how it works. Because I become complacent to it. And we may look a little bit later. So they said this, he's just the carpenter's son. I'm glad they didn't say the plumber's son there. But he's just the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, a villager they had grown up with. So they didn't see anything special in Jesus. They were indifferent to him. And that's what we can do, can't we? See, we come to a meeting, like the woman, she came, she heard, she went, and she touched. We can just be indifferent to the presence of God. When's faith? Now. When's hope? Future. Where's Jesus present? Now. Oh, I've been to the meeting before. 45 minutes of worship, mate. Can this preacher stop? I want to go home. Penrith's on tonight, aren't they? Oh no, Tigers beat them, I forgot. Sorry. And we're distracted in our thinking, which is we all are. But faith is an empowerment. It's an empowerment now to meet Jesus, now. Wherever I am, whatever circumstance I'm in. So they didn't see anything special in Jesus. They were indifferent to him. Mark 6:5-6 says, he could not do many mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And these are Jesus' words. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Now, this passage is startling that it seems to place limits on the power of the Son of God. Now, how's this possible that Jesus could not do many miracles? Mark does not mean that Christ's power, again, is limited in itself, but he chose to make his miracles dependent upon faith. Our faith. Why? Because it's a gift for a relationship. And he'll never impose. Because he's given us a gift. He wants us to grow in the gift. And he wants us to be present to Jesus now. That's how I grow. If I'm indifferent to it, it limits his work of power in my life. And this is what we grow in. Remember, it's given in seed form. And as we develop those muscles, we grow in this gift. So it increases as I'm faithful. That was the first talk I gave. When we're F-U-F-A-I-T-H, second word, F-U-L-L. When I'm faithful of what God's given me, then he gives me more. I expand in grace. So this, I believe that this scripture is trying to draw us into something deeper. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone we pray for will be healed. It doesn't mean any of that. It's not saying that. It's highlighting faith, what faith does. And I believe this scripture is trying to draw us into something deeper. It's trying to draw us into a personal relationship with God. The fullness of healing, and this is what we see happen in this scripture to this woman, the fullness of healing, spiritual as well as physical, occurs only in a personal encounter with Jesus. It's a personal encounter with him. That's the fullness of healing. When's faith? Now. When's Jesus here? Now. For what? To bring us to an encounter with him, to bring us to wholeness in the person of Jesus. But we have to exercise our faith. So what faith does, it opens us to God's power where unbelief closes it. Fullness of healing is an encounter between God's faith, oh sorry, not God's faith, God's power and our receptivity to his presence. It's being receptive to his presence, and then we encounter his power. So even in Nazareth, though, however, the general lack of faith did not completely thwart Jesus' ministry, since he healed a few sick people. But perhaps many more would have been healed had their hearts been more receptive to God. So faith is, if you look at it this way, faith is, and I think this is a half a quote from Mary Healy here, but faith is the Lord's door into the human heart, and it can only be opened from within, inside of us. And it's open from within by giving Jesus our complete yes, entering into a relationship with him. That's the end. So we have to say yes to him. So in finishing, I want to summarize just quickly. I'll just summarize this before we finish. I'll just summarize. There's four, I've just put down four characteristics of faith, and it's just a summary. It's not a summary of the what I've said, but it's just four highlights of what characteristics of what faith is. Firstly, faith's a gift, so it's freely given by God. Second, it's supernatural, so we can't work it up. It's born in our hearts by the Spirit of God, opening our hearts to the Spirit of God. He comes in with this gift so we can know God in a personal way. Thirdly, the mystery of faith, it's activated by our response to God's invitation. This is where we have to respond for it to be activated. And the fourth quality about faith is that it always brings us into an encounter with Jesus Christ, with God. So what are some ways in our lives, in finishing, what are some ways in our lives that we can respond to God in faith? What are some of our needs that we can bring before God today? Remember, faith's in the now. It's an empowerment in the present of his presence. Remember, our needs are the point of contact for our faith to grow, to connect with God. And if we remember the woman, now this is important, I just want to finish with this. The woman's heart, how she approached Jesus. There's three things. She heard about Jesus. So this is important. She was led by the word of God, because Jesus was the word. She heard about Jesus. She was led in her life by truth, by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. What do we listen to? What are the things we are being led by? Because that's what that will produce. Are we being led by our emotions? Are we being led by lies that we may believe about ourselves? Are we being led by our indifference, so we're not present to God? The Holy Spirit helps us as we yield to God. He starts to break these things down in our lives. This woman, she had such courageous faith when she went, and she went to Jesus, and that's a point I made before. So Jesus meets us in our need, whatever the need is, because he wants to grow in a relationship. It's not that we get necessarily what we want, but we encounter him. That's the point. The second thing, so first she heard, and then there was a focus. When you look at the scriptures here, this woman, her focus, where was her focus? Her focus is on Jesus. That was a focus. So she had a need. She went to Jesus, and then her focus was on him. Now, most of the time, again, if I'm talking about my life, my focus is on where? Myself. And I go to Jesus to get a problem out of me when he wants to become Jesus in me to overcome the problem. He wants me to encounter his presence and power to overcome. but I want it out. But it's self-centered. My motive is self-centeredness, and he can't bless that. He wants my focus to be on him, even in the storm or whatever I'm going through. So she heard, her focus was on Jesus, her eyes were on Jesus, and then she married her faith of action and she went to Jesus. So this, I'll close with this. What we see in this scripture is the way to experience this Jesus' saving power is to reject fear and yield to faith. So it's a deeply personal faith that brings us into living contact with Jesus. So what the scripture, that scripture that we read, despite the fears she faced, she rejected that to move to Jesus. And then she yielded to faith to receive the promise for healing. Now, who here wants to experience Jesus' saving power? Who? Everyone, don't we? What the Lord wants us to do is reject or renounce whatever informs us that may be contrary to his word, whether it's fear like this woman, whatever it is, he wants us to renounce it to experience his saving power now. That's what the scripture shows. Faith's an empowerment now. And how do I move towards Jesus? I heard about his word. My eyes are on him, not on my problem. So we want to pray for people at the end to come forward if you need Jesus' saving power. But our focus is not on my problem. It's not on someone praying for me. My focus is on Jesus to experience his power now. His power is an encounter of his presence that helps you overcome. Now, he may heal you, but he may not. But what happens is you encounter the person of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some people here that have never experienced Jesus in a personal way. You may, whatever that is, I don't know what it is. You haven't experienced him personally. When you experience Jesus personally, you know, because there's a transformation that happens inside. And what this scripture shows, Jesus raises the dead. He brings us into new life that he died for on the cross. And he wants to pour it out in our hearts so that we're resurrected by his power. But he wants us to open the door in our hearts to faith, to open the door by our receptivity to his word and say, yes, I want what you have, Jesus. I want it. I want it. And I'm telling you what happens is, process, little by little, he brings a transformation in our hearts. Little by little, we cross over from a natural realm into a supernatural realm where God gives us grace, as we sang in that song, grace upon grace. We meet Jesus. Jesus walks with us. He takes us through the valleys. He takes us to the mountain. He takes us through the deep places, the suffering. But we're with Jesus in that place. Remember, faith's an empowerment in the present. It's now. Jesus is present with us now in us. So what I want to do, if you would like, if you could stand, and I just want to have an invitation to this. Who wants to experience Jesus' saving power in your life? There's a lot of, probably all of us. I do. I do. That's what happens when you preach the word of God. You want it. It's for yourself, firstly. Now, I want to pray for two groups of people. If the Holy Spirit's on you, if you're yielding to the Holy Spirit and he's on you, I want you to come forward. You come forward. Because, again, faith's an empowerment now. God's promises are in the future. Faith's present now. That's where the scripture says in Hebrews 11 that faith is. It's now. It's the substance of things hoped for. So I just want to ask this question first. What's our master? What is it that governs our thoughts, shapes our ideas, controls the desires of our heart, or the values we choose to live by? What are those things, if you can ask yourself this question? What governs our thoughts? Is that Jesus? And this is what we want to do. We want to let our lives be governed by Jesus. And this is how we come into an encounter with him. So, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We honor your presence. We honor the power of your word. We honor the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, it's our heart's desire to glorify you. We thank you. You call us to be like yourself, far beyond what we can do or ask or imagine. But you do it by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, we ask for your anointing. We welcome you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you that it grows as we exercise our hearts in yielding, cooperating with you. And Lord, like this wonderful woman, we reject fear. We reject everything. We renounce everything this morning, and we choose to yield to you, your presence that's here now with us.